Lord, salvation has been brought down. And all of God's people can say amen.
Amen.
Salvation has been brought down. And sounds like we have a great responsibility to go and to tell everyone the good news of Jesus Christ, that others might become one with us in the holy faith. We're thankful to the great God of heaven that he's blessed us, that we are being able to come and we're assembled together as a called out body of believers. Thank God for each person that is here, those who are visiting among us. We count it a great joy that God blessed you to come and to be in our midst. At the conclusion of the worship this morning, our elder that is in charge of the closing remarks will make sure that you are properly greeted and recognized. For those of you who are coming into our worship this morning by way of television, we're so thankful that you just paused the dial for a few minutes to come and to worship with us. And our prayer is that you won't just be on television watching or be there watching us from television, that you'll come and we've got a seat here for you. Just come and be with us. If you need some help, anything that we can minister to, there's a phone number on the bottom of the screen. Just call that number, and we're waiting to hear from you. So please call us. Please come see us at your earliest opportunity. I think this last couple of weeks has been a very, very eventful couple of weeks. We had what is known in the country Thanksgiving. Did anybody have a good Thanksgiving? And it's an amazing thing where we have a calendar date where we go in and we can sit around with friends and family and loved ones, and we can talk about the things that we are thankful for on that Thursday. That's on a Thursday, right? And then right after Thursday, there is this thing called Black Friday. Isn't it an amazing thing, Black Friday? And Black Friday is a commercial day where people get up early in the morning, and some have already camped out during the Thanksgiving, and they're waiting in line to go in and to buy stuff that they already got and fight with folk over the stuff that the people are trying to buy. I already got a TV, but I want a bigger TV. And it appears that this last Black Friday, the biggest item of purchase was for handguns. And I said, what you said, Lord have mercy. And then there was the following Monday was called Cyber Monday. $2 billion spent on Black Friday. How much did you spend on Cyber Monday? They said it was a bigger number that were purchasing items on Cyber Monday. With those things as a part of the backdrop, I thought that I'd look at a topic I think that is right here in the Bible. The lesson that I've entitled for this morning is Things and stuff and things. Things and stuff and things. Because I believe there is a message from the Word of God this morning. Amen. The scripture that was read in our hearing comes from Luke chapter 12 and verse number 13. There was a man who lifted up his voice above the multitude, because Jesus had an innumerable company that had come, and he was teaching the word of God. And he was letting men and women know what they needed to do in order to get ready to be with the great God of heaven. And in the midst of that great teaching, someone yelled out, "Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Isn't that a legitimate complaint? Because now when someone comes and he asks, "Master, I have an inheritance, but my brother is holding on to it." Anybody ever hold on to your stuff? act like it's theirs, don't know when to give it to you or to give it back. Isn't that the kind of thing that we would call upon the Lord to help us with? Lord, help me with my brother. I will never forget, I used to be out here many years ago, and I was knocking on doors. We were door knocking many years ago, and there was a sister, because we were trying to take the word of God from house to house, door to door. And there was a sister that opened that door, and she was about 70 years of age at that time. And she started talking and complaining about a bedroom suit that her sister had kept that should have come to her after mama died. And she hadn't been talking to her mama or to her sister for some 7 years or so, because she was keeping the stuff that she should have got after mama died. Do you folk fall out about stuff and things and stuff? And it's right here in the Word of God. The same kind of thing. But now Jesus asked a question. And it's an interesting thing, because he didn't even deal with whether or not the man's complaint was legitimate. He asked an important question. He says, "Man, who made me," in verse number 14, "a judge or a divider over you?" But wait, Lord, he got my stuff. Lord, you don't wait, hold up. You know, daddy left that to me. He already got the double part of the inheritance. I should get something. But Jesus, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And now what Jesus did is that he took this concern about stuff and things and things and stuff, and he used it as an opportunity to teach a great lesson to those of us, the people of God. Those who were assembled in innumerable number. But yes, that inner circle of the disciples were there also assembled. And now Jesus is going to teach a very, very important lesson. Back in the days when we used to have CB radio, we used to say stuff like, "You got your ears on." All right, you got your ears on. That means you're ready to listen. All right, let's walk down a few verses of scripture, if you will. In Luke chapter 12, we find a very important statement in verse number 15. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, Jesus asks the question, or makes a statement. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Very, very important principle. Jesus is warning his disciples, that is you and that is me. He wants us to understand that our lives are not comprised of the stuff we got, or the stuff we want to get, or the stuff that we ain't got enough money for to buy, but we put it in whatever we got to put it in and make the payments as long as we got to make the payments to get it so folks can see that we got the stuff. We've got houses, and our houses are just big boxes that we put our stuff in. And since sometimes our houses don't have enough room for us to put all of our stuff, we got boxes that we can rent to put our stuff in. And we pay a monthly fee on the stuff that we can't get to because it's boxed up. But when we get a chance, we go, things and stuff. And stuff and things. And Jesus says, a man's life is not consisting of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Covetousness is a strong desire after the possession of worldly things. Do we have that as an issue among us in the body of Christ? Jesus was taking opportunity to teach these men, teach these women about what is truly important in life. What's truly important in life for you? Let me give you the answer before we get there. Just in case some of y'all give up before I get there. The most important thing in our lives is our relationship with Christ. There should not be anything or anyone that comes before our relationship with God. Taking a look then in Luke chapter 12, and we'll pick up at verse number 16. Jesus is going to teach a very important parable, and he's going to illustrate through the parable what is truly important to us in this life. In verse number 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. Have you made it yet? Oh, this man said, I have arrived. I got so much stuff, I ain't got places to put my stuff. I got so much stuff, I don't have room for it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the storage containers, and I'm going to put all of my stuff, and I'll pay my monthly. I'm not picking on, so y'all so quiet, because some of y'all, ooh, Lord, you talking about all of my stuff. I got, hold on. I'm just trying to show you something about it. Don't get all anxious and nervous. Like, how you know? I got still, yeah, well, okay. Don't get nervous. Very important thing here. Because Jesus is showing us, this man saying, I don't have enough room. How much house do we need? How many rooms is enough? How many rooms are enough? How many changes of clothes do we have to have? All right, brothers, y'all pray for me right now. I'm going into dangerous territory. That's, how'd you know? How many pairs of shoes do we need? Woo, Lord have mercy. What color should the bottom of the shoe be? Okay, all right, that's enough. So you ain't preaching now, you messing. Stuff and things. Things and stuff. And Jesus is showing us a very important principle. Verse number 20. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The Lord called the man in this parable the fool. All right. He said, thou fool. I've been debating about this in my mind because I usually get people to help me with my lesson. Don't do it. And this is a part where I could get somebody to help me with the lesson, where they could turn to the person on the right or the left or in front or behind. Are y'all ready to help me? You won't look that way. But now turn to him now and say, don't be a fool. See, you're not calling anybody a fool, right? Say, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Our stuff and our things don't really mean anything. And we cannot be all that we need to be in our relationship with God if we allow stuff and things to overcome what we as members of the family of God ought to be about all the time anyway. He says, listen, your life does not consist of the abundance of the things which you possess. He's talking about eating and drinking and being merry because he's got all of this stuff. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how much money we've got. It doesn't matter how much property that we have. It doesn't matter how many things that we have. All that stuff is going to have to be left anyway. every bit of it is going to be left behind. We have to build bigger houses. Lord, have mercy. Thank God if you ever get one paid off. If you get one paid off, Lord, have mercy. Why would we? You know, now I said this. Somebody said that we can sing a lie just as well as we can tell a lie. You heard that song where we sing, men strive for the wealth of this wide, wicked world. Don't worry, Vincent, I'm not going to sing. They seek after honor and fame, so lavishly sporting their diamonds and pearls, they put the dear Savior to shame. And what do we say? We said, I'd rather live in... Do you sing that song? Is it okay to sing that song? Or will we be able to say that as long as I've got Jesus, man, I can live in a shack by the road. As long as I've got Jesus. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. It's trying to help us focus and realize and understand that we have to leave all of our stuff anyway to go and be with God. I'm going to tell you something about your stuff. You might not know this about me, but I've gotten to the age where people start to call me all the time and talk about retirement. And I like it because they invite me to come and I get free lunches and dinners. I go there and I'm like, yeah, I'm talking, I'm listening. But one thing about retirement, they teach you some things, you learn some things in there. And they were showing statistically that your children that you leave stuff to when you die, that they spend all of the stuff in terms of the money that you left them. Guess how long it takes? They spend, not that fast. They spend through all of the stuff that is left, the money. They spend through it in 2 years or less. It's all gone, stuff you done worked your whole life for. Somebody say, I'm going to change my will now. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 18. You remember this man by the name of Solomon? He was the wisest man of his generation. He was also the richest man of his generation. And he learned some stuff. And if we let him, he can teach us some stuff along the way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 18, notice, Solomon says, yea, I hated all my labor. Now that word labor, Solomon said, I worked hard. God blessed him, but Solomon did some marvelous works. He built the fabulous kingdom of the children of Israel. He built the temple, and it was a wonderful place. He built all of this. He spent more time building his own house, by the way. That's another lesson, maybe. Then he actually spent building the temple. But maybe he focused upon that first. But what Solomon did when he looked back over his life and he saw all of the wealth and the material goods that he had appreciated over the years. Notice this. He says, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Why? Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. He said, you know what? When I get ready to go, guess how much of my stuff I'm going to leave? All of it. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. Now, I heard brothers say this now, you know, and they ask questions, ask what, baby, when I die, are you going to get married again? And then some folk ask the question, well, what is the appropriate time to wait? How long do I have to wait after you? What would be an appropriate time? All right, but listen, all of that stuff. Now, and wives sometimes ask husbands that question. Baby, if I die before you, are you going to get married again? That was somebody over here. I don't know who said. And then folk ask the question, would you let them have my things, my stuff? You gonna answer that one too? It's an amazing thing, an amazing thing. Solomon started to realize something. All of this beautiful stuff that he'd accumulated as a king and rich, and folk were bringing him royal gifts. He says, when I die, I'm going to leave it to the person that shall be after me. Get verse number 19. And the Bible says, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool. Do you know who's going to get your stuff? Is he or she going to be a wise person, or will they be a fool? Do you realize then that we are accumulating stuff for folk that may be fools and will spend it all in 2 years or less? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun? And Solomon said, this also is vanity. It ain't worth nothing. When we come to the conclusion that our stuff and things and our things and stuff that we have accumulated, that we're working and we're striving after, don't really mean anything, that is all vanity, then we can focus our hearts and our minds where they ought to be. And that is on how to serve the great God of heaven. Do any of us in here this morning, do we truly want eternal life? See, eternal life, folk think of that time that we're going to spend with God that does not end. But listen, if we don't get eternal life here, we won't have it there. And eternal life is a quality of life that we have now that leads to one day with God. That one day with God does not end, but it's a quality of life that starts right now. And we have to strive and we have to aspire to live that quality of life. In Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17, we find a young man that the Bible is going to identify as a rich young ruler. You'll find him in Mark, you'll find him in Matthew, you'll find him in Luke. The Bible says in verse number 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Isn't that a beautiful question? That we are looking for men and women who want to inherit the kingdom of God. We're looking for men and women who want true treasures. We're looking for men and women who know that our treasure is in heaven, that is with God, and that's where the true treasure is. And this young man came to Jesus. It might be somebody coming up in and saying, I want to be a part of the family of God. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thought? That somebody wants to step out on faith and believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he died for our sins. Confess Jesus as the Christ. Repent, be baptized, be buried in water, rise to walk in new. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thought? Amen. This man came to Jesus, good master. And of course, Jesus had to deal with that. And he wanted to know what I have to do to inherit eternal life. Drop down to verse number 21. In Mark chapter 10 and verse number 21, the Bible says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Don't we love people who want to know what God wants them to do? Man, Lord, just tell me, what do I need to do? In order for you this morning to become a part of the family of God, you just simply hear that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. Believe that. Repentance is the idea of changing our hearts, our minds. I don't want to live for self and sin anymore. I want to live for God. Amen. Confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and giving your body to be baptized for the remission of sins, that puts you in the body of Christ. But notice, that repentance, there's some things that have got to take place in our hearts and our minds before we get over into the water. And he's trying to show us a very important lesson here. He wants them to know. Jesus loved that man. We love people who want to know what God wants for them to do. And Jesus looked at this young man. He says, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor. And look at this. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And, you know, there's a whole big lesson here. Man, I tell you, ooh, Lord have mercy, there's a big, big lesson here. but let me ask you. Notice it says, "And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Whatsoever thou hast given to the poor." Wait, hold up. Wait. Man, let me get this straight. The stuff that I give to the poor, I get treasure in heaven. Anybody got any treasure in heaven this morning? We got to help somebody. We got to help somebody, brother. Listen, we cannot keep all of our stuff to ourselves and think that we're going to be all right with God. But hold on now. Hold on. Wait. We're going to look a little further. I know. We're saying what this was. Look. It's in the scripture. Let's take a look. And what he said to him, he says, "And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come." Get this. "Take up the cross." Is that what Jesus says? Yes. "Take up the cross and follow me." When we take up the cross, you know what that means? That means that we die to self. We die to sin every day. How much stuff do dead people possess? Look. All right. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 22. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 22. You know what? I think I can start now. I forgot to press my start button, so I'm not sure exactly. All right. And look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 22. Jesus is dealing with the same subject matter. And now notice, the same subject. The Bible says, "But when the young man heard it, he went away sorrowful because he had," what did he have? "Great possessions." You know, we are the richest people of our generation. We have come a mighty, mighty long way. And do you know that we're in a season of the year where people get distressed over what kind of stuff they're going to get, on what kind of stuff they're going to give, on how many folk gonna be happy with the stuff? Listen, man, I tell you, I have a Christmas lesson, but I can't teach that Christmas lesson here because folk find out stuff that there ain't no such thing as Santa Claus, and you know. Okay, that Christmas is not a day that's given to the church to observe. You know, that Jesus told us in Luke 22:19 what he wanted us to do in order to remember him. And if Jesus told us what he wanted us to do in order to remember him, why are we going to... Okay, that's not my lesson. Let me get back over here. Stay focused. Thank you, brother. But we're living in an era and in a time of year where people's minds gravitate toward their stuff and their things and stuff. And this young man, the Bible says, when he heard that, he went away and he was sorrowful. He was so sorry, the Bible says, because he had great possessions. How much would we give up in order to follow the Lord? How much would we give up to have Jesus? We sing that song again, "Jesus paid it all." What's the next line of that song? "All to him." I know y'all really think I'm going to start singing in a minute. It could happen. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And if that is the case, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe, then we don't possess anything in this life. There's nothing worth holding on to in this life. In John chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made." Ooh, boy, I tell you, isn't it a good thing we're not Jesus? We come along like, hey, no, that's mine. I made it. Hey, that's mine too. No, wait, hey, that's mine. It belongs to me. It was made by me. It was made for me. It's mine. What would it be like if it was ours, brother? I tell you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. Notice what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus paid it all. He came from where we're trying to go. He gave it all up. The world was made by him, it was made for him, and everything in this world, it belonged to him, yet he did not hold on to any of it. He became poor for my sake. He became poor for your sake, so that all of us might be made rich in Christ through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go back to Luke chapter 14. Go to Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, I say go back to Luke chapter 14. We hadn't gotten there yet, have we? And let's get verse number 33. In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 33, it's just this important statement that Jesus makes here. Luke 14, he says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not, how much? Wait a minute, let me make sure, let me expand my screen so I can make sure I'm looking at this right. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not, what's the word again? See, listen, there is nobody or nothing that comes before our relationship with God. Amen. Can I tell you some secrets out? Y'all won't tell nobody, will you? Let me tell you some secrets. Historically, in the church, around this time of year, folk cut off on the amount of their giving to the church. No, it does. Now, I don't go to the financial office or check into the records here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Maybe it's different. But this time of year, people don't give their regular offering as they have. And you know what their reasoning has been? I gotta buy some Christmas gifts. Let me just give you a hint. When your water bill is due, when your electric bill is due, when your gas bill is due. And this is not about the collection. I'm talking about our heart and the stuff that we have wrapped around in our heart. Call up the water company and go like, excuse me, I'm not going to be paying my water bill this month, electric bill, gas bill, utility company. I'm not paying. Oh, mortgage. No, I'm not paying that this month. Why not? I got to do my Christmas shopping. What do you think will happen? Click, click, click. No gas, no water, no lights. What I'm saying to you is that our hearts have to become reoriented. This stuff does not mean anything. What is truly important in our lives is our relationship with God. And if we're going to go to be with God, on that day when that angel comes down and he stands with one foot on the water and another foot on dry ground, and the clouds are rolled up as a scroll, and Jesus is coming in the clouds of glory, you can't say, wait a minute, Jesus, I got to get my stuff. You got to leave all of that stuff. Lord have mercy. You don't see it yet. I'm seriously, this is serious. It was on the news years back. Okay, I'm through, y'all. Okay, but I'm just in the invitation. We have floods. And I never really seen a flood until I came to Houston. It's like, Lord, I got here in 74, 75, the great flood of May of 1975. It's like, oh, I think I need to go back to Fort Worth. My wife and I were up in Fort Worth for the Thanksgiving holiday. And when I was in, that's right. And the time that I lived in Fort Worth, we didn't have not one flood. But there was a lady drowned 5 miles from where we were staying. And I'm going, it's flooding over there. But years ago, water's coming up into the house. And there was a rescue boat that came by to try to rescue one of the people whose house was flooding. And they said, come on, the water is still rising. And this is not the joke about the man up on the roof, where the Lord says, I sent 3 boats and a helicopter. But they came to get this person, and the person said, okay, wait a minute. Let me get my TV. Because he wanted to bring out his TV to put on the rescue boat. And they told him, no, you can't carry your TV on the rescue boat. Would anybody not gotten in the boat? You see, our stuff and things, we gotta divorce ourselves from the stuff of this life. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, chapter 14, verse 33, who forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In Luke chapter 12 and 21, Luke chapter 12 and 21, and then looks in the face and says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We're to be rich toward God. Listen, if you're here this morning and you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent, determined that you want to live for Christ, not for self and sin, if you will confess before this audience that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you will be baptized in water for the remission of sins, you can be a part of the family of God. We had a Bible study, and this happens, and I understand it, because we're commanded to count the cost. And one young man in the Bible study, he says, he believed it. Oh, Lord, beautiful, beautiful. He believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to become a member of the Church of Christ. But there was some stuff he was not yet ready to give up. We pray God blesses us, all of us, that we'll be able to lay down self and sin and everything else, anything else, that would keep us from a right relationship with God. Don't get lost in stuff and things and things and stuff. If there are any who would stand in need of prayer, I would like to make a confession. You also have that opportunity as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.
Will you come
to the fountain free?
Will you come?
'Tis for you and me.
Thirsty soul,
hear the welcome call.
Thank you for coming down, my
sister.
God bless you.
Open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that for free. thirsty soul,
hear the welcome call. Tis a fountain is open for all.
There's a rock that's cleft,
and no soul is left
that may not his pure water shed. Tis for you and me and his dream I see. Let us hasten.